So good morning, everybody. I think my coffee has kicked in. This is a good thing. As has been said, I'm the director of Chicago House's Trans Life Center for just over a little bit over a year right now. And if you go onto the Chicago House website, there's a video. And they were talking about showing that video, and I said, not so much. Because the video really focuses on, as part of our services, we have a 9-bed house, residential kinds of services, housing services for homeless individuals in the trans community. In our overall work, that has often been held up as like the primary model of what we do, and it really is a very small part. And I want to talk about the bigger picture that is far more impactful on healthcare than a 9-bedroom house in Chicago's Edgewater community. I would like to say that healthcare for the trans community is housing. Healthcare is legal assistance. Healthcare is employment. Healthcare is safe spaces. Healthcare is gender affirmation and gender affirming. That if we are not providing these things, we're really not providing healthcare for the trans community. Our model is extremely drop-in center based. We talk about having 5 services, but 2 days a week, and possibly 3 days a week in the near future, we run a drop-in that is trans-specific, 18 and over, and we're kind of don't ask, it's one of those uses of don't ask, don't tell that might be positive, is we don't ask for proof of age coming in. So for certain services, individuals under 18, this is, I would deny I said this, are welcome. And it's the only drop-in that I know of that is all-age and trans-specific. In Chicago, you can find a lot of youth drop-ins, a lot of LGBT drop-ins, but you don't find the kinds of drop-in services that we run that are trans-specific and age-inclusive as much as possible. And in those settings, our model is actually connection to a variety of resources, the kinds of resources that I started with. Connection to housing resources, including our 9-bedroom house, our 1 scattered site unit, but also through the Chicago Central Referral System list, connection to other housing providers. I like to think about, you know, what we've accomplished is really, okay, so we've housed 9 folks in this house. In the last fiscal year, there were 40 trans individuals who were homeless who we put on the CRIS list and who were pulled off of the CRIS list for housing in the Chicago trans communities. That's huge. That's a total of 50 trans individuals housed in a year's time. And we see when we house people, their health improves. We serve to link individuals to the legal services. 65 individuals in the last fiscal year served. Many, many name changes and gender marker changes provided through our programming, through those connections, which means more trans individuals going out into the world with IDs that match. Because when we talk about access to healthcare, and when we talk about system fatigue, what's the first thing that an individual shows when walking into a healthcare clinic? Can I see your ID? And it's the first thing that trans individual is going to go, oh, what does that mean? What does that mean for me today? Having that identification congruent with gender identity is huge for beginning to decrease some of that system access barriers. And the drop-in flexibility is extremely important. It allows us to be very much patient or client, or we often use the word participant-centered. Because when an individual comes in and sees us, we are there for what they need. We have very few individuals that come to us, and we have a provider on site for our drop-in, a medical provider through Heartland, through our partnership with Heartland Health Outreach. But they do not, our participants often don't come in for healthcare. They come in because she's homeless, or she wants help with a name change, a gender market change. And we serve I believe it's about 80% transgender women of color in our, through the bulk of our services. We are designed to serve all individuals who identify as transgender. We don't define that. We allow that for participants of all genders and all races. Providing the services, connection to services that we believe are the services that those in the trans communities who are most marginalized, these are the things they need. And so we expect those who are most marginalized to show up. And what we see is it's primarily trans women of color who come for our services. Most of them show up looking for one or two specific services. And then they find out, oh, this is a program that can connect us to employment services. Oh, you have a healthcare provider? I'm not currently getting my hormones. The number one, and it's been talked about already, so I'm not going to go in. The number one request when it comes to healthcare is hormones. And for the reasons in particular, I had to hold my tongue when Shannon asked a question because I knew the answer. We've talked about it for years. Hormones. Because they want to travel life through a safe space. And those safe spaces are important. We offer this drop-in as a safe space, but with the goal of providing those specific services that offer safer spaces out in the world. There are limits to operating drop-ins as safe spaces. There's only so many hours of a day. And then folks have to go somewhere else. And so it's very much based on what the individual is looking for. Flexibility, drop-in, no appointment needed. And offers the service there and then. What I think is very powerful of the model of what we do on a drop-in basis is if a woman or a man comes in and says, I need housing, or I fall into binary and I shouldn't, or those who are don't identify along the binary, who are trans, I'm looking for housing. We connect them to that waiting list and talk with them about specific resources. I need legal help. They see our lawyer. They don't get an appointment for going to a clinic for medical, for going to a law office. They see a lawyer. They see a medical provider. They walk out with something tangible that they didn't walk in with. It's not a promise of something down the road. It's a service there and then. Because homeless, trans individuals living in poverty, marginalized, who when getting on that bus are going to be thinking, what am I going to face? Come to these kinds of services when they're ready and only when they're ready. And if we're not available to meet that need in that moment, we miss that window with that individual. And so we are set up to meet everybody's window when it opens. Not when we feel like it. Not when we think you're ready. But rather when you say you're ready and you come to us. And we've been trying, and we've expanded to the south side and we're looking to the west side to cover where trans individuals live. Because it's all over. Not just the one big LGBT huge center on the north side of the center on Halsted, where we have one of our drive-in times. So we have this system that is based on participant-centered, not program-centered kinds of services. A couple of thoughts on services like this. We found that having services that are trans-specific is very important. And there is some importance to folks coming to us who see and say, oh, I see faces like mine. But I like to couple that with a couple of caveats. And one of those is that it has to be balanced with confidentiality and professionalism. Systems that just have trans faces and don't have high quality services and professionalism and confidentiality, the women who come to us and the men who come to us and see a face and say, I was partying with this woman and listened to her gossip yesterday, are not coming back. They need to be trans-informed. I was, quick story, since we're storytellers. I had bronchitis a couple of months ago and end up in urgent care. The doctor says, yeah, I see what you're on. I'm a little concerned because you have blood in your phlegm. This could be a pulmonary embolism. With your hormones, kind of need you to go to the emergency room. Now you can get there, but I would call an ambulance if you say anything else. And so I go. He knew that that was a possible issue and looked for it. But he was also talking about bronchitis and other things. He didn't see me and ask me about all sorts of other things, because that can often be. And I didn't have to be focusing on HIV, because the other thing that we found is we are not HIV specific. While our brand actually looks at HIV, our services have nothing to do with HIV status. And that's very important to take that stigma out of what we do and to fund services that have nothing to do with HIV-specific healthcare.